Welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a man who was fired from the Wisconsin Coast Guard when he was convinced that there was a giant squid killing people in the lake. He was disgraced and shunned. However, 1 year later, they discovered a giant squid in the lake, and he was redeemed and brought back to the Coast Guard. However, a year later, they found out that he was the giant squid, and he did that so he could get back into the Coast Guard. It's Robert Lamb.
Listen, you got to go to extreme means for what you want to do, and that's what I did.
Now, was there a squid?
Yeah, but it was just one of those little ones like calamari that I just threw in there. It wasn't like a big squid. I dressed up as the big squid.
Did you throw calamari into a lake?
Yeah, because they don't live in lakes, right?
Yeah. Well, unless...
So I had to.
Squid Lake, which is a famous, infamous podcast we did.
Right.
Yeah, so you threw were you on a boat? Did you have it leftovers? Did you go
It was leftover. I went to a restaurant. I just didn't want it anymore, so I threw it overboard. And then I realized, like, that's when it sparked the idea of what if I dressed up as a giant squid and tormented the towns around the area.
That's kind of... So then... You were tormenting towns, and then you were convinced that – then you told everyone that there is a giant squid, but then they didn't believe you, right?
It was a real Scooby-Doo moment. When they found out, it was like these five kids and some dog, and they pulled off the squid mask, and it was me. So I ended up getting fired again.
The crazy thing is that you got reinstated in the Wisconsin Coast Guard.
Well, that's where I kind of messed up. I dressed up as the squid, got reinstated, and for some reason I decided to keep doing the squid thing, and I shouldn't have done that. I should have just stayed with, you know, like the Coast Guard. I didn't need to be the squid anymore, but it was soothing to me. Then that's when I got found out.
Was it an addiction?
A squid-diction? Yeah. I would say that it was probably a squid-diction.
Now, when you terrorized people as the squid, what did you do?
I did normal squid things, like throw my tentacles at them, look at them with my big eye from the side, and then if anybody ever had a submarine in the lake, I attacked it, 20,000 leagues style.
Yeah, and that's like, did you have a scuba tank on, I assume?
No, I was actually using a very long straw.
So you were like one of the mermaids at Wikiwachi in Florida.
yeah, or like James Bond in the first... in Dr. No.
Oh, so you have a very long straw. You're in a reasonably well-made squid outfit. Full-on squid-iction.
Like, you know how people dress up as furries? I dress up as invertebrates and do that.
That led us to a weird place, our squid-iction.
Yeah, you know, not to derail this even further, but, like, I always thought that was a weird thing in the movie The Shining, where that guy dressed up as a teddy bear is just, it was. That was like a weird scene in The Shining.
Was that in the book?
There were costume parties in the book. I don't remember if that was in it. I read it probably like 8 years ago. I do remember there was like these costume parties where they would like dress up and it was like big ballroom parties. And then there was a scene in the book that was really creepy about a guy that was dressed as a dog and he chased Danny down the hallway and he would just bark at him and say, I want to nibble on you. And, I don't know, use a lot of weird language, but it was kind of creepy.
Interesting. I'm looking forward to the sequel with Ewan McGregor, directed by Mike Flanagan. It's a good book. I like it. It actually gave me nightmares. I thought I saw the main bad lady. I was on a cruise ship, and I thought we left our thing out to the balcony open.
Yeah.
I just woke up, and I went, ah! So, yeah, that book gave me a nightmare.
Did you see Hereditary?
Yeah, I did.
That one part where there's, like, a guy standing in the corner, just smiling, naked. Remember that?
Yeah.
That guy, like, I had a nightmare about that shit. Woke up, scared the crap out of me.
I don't want to... We should do a Hereditary podcast.
I liked it.
I was into it, and then I wasn't into it. But I don't want to spoil it.
There are some things that were weird.
I mean, everything was telegraphed. So I was like, oh, this is where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, it looks good. The performances are good, but I know exactly what's happening. And I never do that with movies. I normally just kind of roll with them, and I never get plot twists.
Yeah, I think, like, for me, it was like... I don't know. There was a lot of, like the pacing was kind of weird to me. like, there's like some jump scares in the beginning, and then like that, like just a slow middle, and then like the ending was like very like, I don't know. I don't want to spoil it, but it was, the pacing was kind of weird to me.
It's a good feature film. It's a good directorial debut.
Oh yeah, no, I liked it. I kind of want to watch it again to see how I feel about it on a second viewing.
Ooh.
If well, I can handle it.
Off the podcast, so you don't know more nightmares. You waking up screaming. Screaming yourself to sleep.
In a cold sweat.
Speaking of screaming ourselves to sleep.
Yep.
We got a doozy to talk about this week. And when I first heard about this movie, I screamed myself to sleep out of happiness.
Right.
Because Jason Statham fighting a giant shark is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think that about it?
So, like, when I, like, overall or, like, before it came out when I heard it was being made?
Yeah, so what... Yeah, I mean, overall thought, like, after seeing it, what'd you think?
All right, so after seeing the movie, and I've talked to you about this previously, basically, I went in kind of wanting to, you know, just be entertained. I know it's not going to be, like, it's not going to be a film that I'm going to have to, like, pay attention to every detail, you know what I mean? Like, it's a B-movie that's coming out in theaters, but it's not as, like, ridiculous as Sharknado, and it's not as, like, to me, as fun as Deep Blue Sea, and it's obviously not as smart as Jaws. So, like, I couldn't pinpoint where, like, it should be and, like, what I really felt about it. Like, I felt like it had that B-movie aspect, but sometimes I felt like it took itself too seriously. I don't – it was, like, a weird mixture of emotions watching this film.
Really? Yeah,
Not too. All right. Well, go ahead.
No. You're right, though. I guess I was able to have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a good movie.
Well, I thought it was more fun when the shark actually appears and starts attacking, like, the beach and stuff like that, which is kind of like, you know, I don't know how much you want to spoil, but I would say halfway through the first half of the movie was kind of
total spoilers. Okay.
Well, like, the first half of the movie to me was very, like, bland. Like, they go down in a submarine, like, they're going as deep as they can, and then they get attacked by the Megalodon, and then that forces Jason Statham to come back in to the picture. He knew that there's, like, this monster down there because he was once attacked or something going that deep.
Yeah, the beginning of the movie, he's a rescue guy who goes down to the Mariana Trench with two other guys and rescues 11 people from a submarine. But because the shark attacks, he has to close the latch, effectively killing his two friends, but saving 11 lives.
Yeah.
And because of this, they said he had, like, some psychosis because he was so deep in the water. And his wife leaves him.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, he gets fired from his job. And then he becomes the most in-shape alcoholic in Thailand.
In Thailand. Yeah. Like,
he gets a seriously bum rap. He saves 11 people. Right. And if he would have waited 14 more, like, 6 more seconds, everybody would have died. Like, there's no way those two guys could have been saved. And people are like, you left them behind. No. And there's like, he was doing his job. He couldn't save those two. Everybody would have died. Right.
Right. So yeah, do you risk everybody's life to save two more people that you know, like, it doesn't stand a chance kind of thing?
Like, Robert, I like you, man, but if I see you literally halfway falling, like, if you already started falling down a cliff.
Right.
Like, I'm not.
Yeah, I don't expect you to jump down the cliff and try to grab me, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I hope you don't take offense to that.
No. I've always said that, like, you know, like, in those situations where it's, like, impossible, like, I'm all for, like, you know, some people will jump in front of a bullet or, like, do, like, you know, try to rescue somebody. But there's some instances where you just know not only are you not going to come out of it, but the person that you're rescuing, like, it's, there's no chance.
If I had a Point Break, like, if this was Point Break and I had a, what's the word, a parachute.
Right.
I would try to make, like, a half attempt at saving you.
Okay. Here's another thing. In 28 Weeks Later... In the very beginning, when Robert Carlyle gets separated from his wife and she rescues that kid, and then he closes the door on her because the creatures break into the room, I don't think he should have closed the door on her, obviously, but I also think, like, they all would have died.
Yeah.
He didn't have a weapon. He didn't have anything. And she went back for the kid, and she shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, they were all toast. I mean, the decision he made, no one should ever have to make that, but he would have died, too.
He would have died, too. That's what I'm saying. And, like, I've watched the movie with some people, and they always go, well, he should have because that's his wife and stuff like that. And I understand that. And, like, he probably should have tried to at least do something. But I also think in his mind, like, it's a fight or flight, and he knew that he wasn't going to be able to fight. You know what I mean?
I do think it leads to one of the coolest shots of 21st century horror when he's running through the field
and the zombies are
closing in on him.
That whole opening is awesome.
Primal, it's urgent, and it's fantastic.
Yep.
But
we
don't really get that in this one. We kind of get – let's do 28 Weeks Later sometime.
Yeah, I'll do that one.
All right, cool. So cut back to a billion-dollar place called Mana One.
Yep.
That is in the Mariana Trench. And a billionaire played by Rainn Wilson named Morris has funded people, like a bunch of scientists, to see if there's something beneath the trench.
Mm-hmm.
And three people. We have Statham's ex-wife named Lori. We have Toshi, played by Masioka from Heroes. And then this guy called The Wall. They go down there. They find out that there's something further down. And a shark dismantles their submarine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So then,
and then Jason Statham gets called back into it.
Yeah, and they go to Thailand. He's just drinking beers.
Right, because he's an alcoholic.
Are these light beers?
It's got to be, because there's no way. Like, he doesn't have a gut. He doesn't have a beer belly. And he's been drinking for a while, obviously. You look at his refrigerator when he opens it, and he's like, sits down, let's just have a beer. He already was drinking before they showed up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where's his beer belly?
Does he run every morning?
Oh, I'm sure he works out.
Yeah. So it's like a morning workout, light work, and then beer.
But I guess if he's burning off the calories, I mean, he can keep that beer belly off. But I still think he's drinking a lot more than probably he's running.
Is he doing Ben Affleck house pull-ups like Ben Affleck likes to do in his movies?
Yeah, probably. Right. Who is the other one? Will Smith. Doesn't Will Smith do that in like I Am Legend or something?
Yeah. So he's doing house pull-ups. Ben Affleck's doing house pull-ups. I mean, that burns it. So they get him. However, what's her name? Su Yin. So the head of this place is played by Winston Chow, who plays a guy named Zhang, and his daughter Su Yin is recently divorced because her husband left her for a Pilates instructor. So it's her and her daughter, Mei Ying, on the Mana One in the Mariana Trench. She decides to get in this cool-looking sub and go and save the submarine people.
And that's Bing Bing Lee, which I didn't realize she played Ada Wong in the Resident Evil movies.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
I mean,
I'm just looking it up now. Sorry.
I like that one, actually.
What? The one that she played in?
Yeah, if you listen to next week's podcast, we're doing Extinction, and then we're going to do the fourth one, and then the fifth one, then the sixth one.
I never saw past the fourth one.
Oh, dude, five is crazy.
Really?
Yeah, it's nutso. No, wait, that is the fifth one. You saw the fifth one.
No.
Oh, you didn't see the one with Bing Bing?
No, I just pulled up her IMDb.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right, so what's up?
Yeah. No, keep going.
All right, so then Statham shows up. He gets into a sub, and he just knows how to work it perfectly, which sinks really fast. And sinking so fast, he has a bloody nose. Oh, wait, no, we got to – I want to talk about somebody. The jerkiest doctor on the planet, Heller, played by Robert Taylor, a.k.a. the Angry Doctor.
So okay.
He's the guy that hates Statham because he saved his life.
Yeah.
You saved my life, but you let two other people die that I didn't know.
Yeah.
So he's mad at him. And then Jason Statham shows up. He's the only person that can help. And then he's mad at him. And then Statham saves the day, and he's still kind of mad at him. And the doctor says, I'm sorry later to Statham, but he seemed angry about it. The doctor was totally wrong. Statham saved his life. And when he apologizes, he goes, oh, I'm sorry.
But he does get his redemption by sacrificing himself.
Yeah, he has a Deep Blue Sea moment.
Yeah, I didn't feel like it was warranted like in Deep Blue Sea.
No. definitely not. I mean, that was
it didn't feel the same.
I mean, it's kind of cool that she did it. Like, that was her fault in Deep Blue Sea. Everything was her fault
right.
in that.
Exactly. So it made sense in Deep Blue Sea where, like, she was sacrificing herself because she screwed up.
Yeah, and so, yeah, he kind of, well, he saves Ruby Rose's life, so that's nice.
But Ruby Rose fell off the boat so often. People, it was like, just stay on the boat.
If there's a lot of falling off of boats on this movie. People...
She was always in the water, though.
People
I felt like there's
three
times.
Yeah. Willy-nilly just falling off boats.
Like, I understand when it, like, knocks the boat sideways and it flips over, everyone's going to fall off the boat. But when the boat's just rocking a little bit, like, come on. Hold on to the railing. You yeah. know there's a shark in there.
I can't believe that Statham was throwing banana peels all over the deck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people
all
are gonna
the
slip.
Sound effects of as they just go into the water. Yeah, it's dangerous. Stop I mean, eating all. He's healthy though. He eats his bananas.
And there's a couple scenes where people are standing on the very back of the boat, and the guy driving the boat punches it. Like the people could fall off the back of the boat really easily.
Yeah, dude, they fell just so. Or yeah, like yeah, when he what was it, the wall or whatever, when he kind of jokingly falls off or whatever, when they scare him.
Yeah, and I mean, just don't go in the water.
Yeah, seriously, there's a huge shark. And, like, they're, like, joking around. Like, I understand at that point they thought they killed it, but come on.
I will say, though, I like Statham a lot in this movie. You could tell he was having fun playing the drunk.
Right.
I liked how he dropped the submarine down. I enjoyed that. I like that he – I love that his character is not afraid to go down beneath the Mariana Trench below 10,000 feet, and he rescues people with ease.
Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive.
No, I think Jason Statham did a fine job in the movie. I feel like all the other characters didn't really get their time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like so I think my biggest gripe about the movie is it felt rushed. And I know a lot of B movies, it is kind of like that's how it is. Like, there's not like a lot of character development and shit. But I felt like this movie was rushed. Like the one scene where the Megalodon just like bites the Mono One or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
It bites the glass and scares the little girl. And then they go over to the glass. They see the bite marks and they're like, oh my God. Then a whale just hits the glass and they're like, oh, it's just a whale. And then the shark comes back and eats the whale and they just sit down there like they've seen it before. Like they're just like, oh, cool. Like it's like they don't look frightened or really. And they just walk up to the glass. It's just like, all of that happened in like 30 seconds. Like, it was weird.
I would be heartbroken if I saw a beautiful whale get eaten in half by a 75-foot shark.
Well, I mean, they're right outside the glass, and I felt like Jason Statham and who was it? The guy who plays Cliff Curtis. Yeah. Like, I felt like – I think it was them two that were there, and they were just like kind of like – just like, oh, shit, it's out there. But they didn't, like, move. They didn't rush away. Like, they didn't run away. They didn't, like – I don't know. It was like – it just felt like weird.
I'd have lost my mind.
Yeah, I would have been a little bit scared because now it's like it's not as deep as it once was. Now it's up there.
And the one guy who you think is kind of overreacting, I'm not going into water. Like, everyone kind of makes fun of him. But he's the one guy that is kind of like, listen, what's called the military?
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is there were two of them, spoiler alert, like two megalodons. But like, how do they know there's not three? Like, they never, like, explained why there was only two. I don't know. That was, like, weird to me.
How did the Megalodon attack Statham's sub? Because he wasn't beneath the surface. We know that the Meg gets through by a hot pocket of hot water, right? Like a geyser spout that the shark travels through so it doesn't die from the transition.
Right.
So the shark obviously got out and attacked the sub. Did it go back under?
But that's what I'm saying is, like, because when they killed that one, then the other one appears. Like, did they make a allusion to, like, there being two before that? I don't think they did.
No.
Because that was, like, the surprise, like, when they
just
killed
thought
it.
They just thought there was one.
Plus, I get that the Megalodon is a huge shark, and it probably has to eat a lot to, like, you know, stay alive. But, like, how much does it have to eat? Like, this thing is just a killing – like, it's just, like, not only does it eat another megalodon, after that it just – it needs to go eat a bunch of beachgoers and like –
I think it needs to eat a lot.
But it ate another megalodon. Like, how much do you need?
But after that, it swims probably, what, 300, 400 miles?
I guess. But if you ate a whole human, I'm just saying, like, that should hold you for a while, even if you're jogging 30 miles.
I watched Blue Planet, and there's sharks on the bottom of the ocean that eat whale fall.
Mm-hmm.
And they can stuff their faces full of it, and they're good for a year.
Yeah, there's a lot of animals that only eat, like once, like even like snakes eat like once a week, or like certain snakes are like the anacondas and stuff, they'll just eat like one large animal and then they'll be good for like a week or two.
So this shark kind of reminds me of the of much larger version of the shark from The Shallows.
Right.
I actually love that shark because that is, it's just a jerk shark.
Yeah, the shark in The Shallows was just there to screw up Blake Lively's time.
And it just kills people, stays in one section, and just wants to eat her. It's like, you got away from me right. Once. This isn't mm-hmm. happening again.
Yeah.
I
think I like the first half of The Shallows.
Spoiler.
The jellyfish stuff was kind of
At the end, though, all right, spoiler for The Shallows, but the shark just obliterates itself.
Yeah, I know.
That was awesome.
But would you ever know that, like, if you were on, like, a buoy, that if you hit the chain, that's going to, like, retract?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. All right, well, I didn't get the memo,
well,
so
I was a buoy installer.
Oh, okay, so you knew about the retractable chains.
And I knew about the spikes on the bottom.
And that it would be just enough to get, every buoy has spikes at the bottom.
It's common knowledge.
Just in case.
Common knowledge. Because people used to mess with those buoys.
Yeah.
And so you know how people put a barbed wire fence?
Yeah.
They do like electric fences. Mm-hmm. People just kind of spiked buoys on the bottom of the ocean. Foundations.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's common. Like, just Google it.
All right. My fault. I retract my statement.
Yeah, jeez.
What was I gonna say? I think my biggest gripe for like also the Megalodon in the sense of being like a monster film is it's the type of monster film that's not like let's see what references. Okay, so Cloverfield, Jurassic Park 3, this movie, they all have that thing where there's a giant monster. And it's just like wreaking havoc. But for some reason, it just like, it'll go after like one human being. Like for some reason, like the Spinosaurus in Jurassic Park 3, there's so many dinosaurs on the island. It kills a giant T-Rex, but yet it still wants to just kill Sam Neill and William H. Macy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's going to do whatever it can to just kill these people when it could kill anything and eat. You know what I mean? And same with Cloverfield. Cloverfield's like destroying this huge city. And, like, the whole movie, Cloverfield, I think is, like, decent, where it's, like, they're just trying to get away from the monster and it's wreaking havoc. But then at the very end, it eats T.J. Miller when he has the camera. Like, it just eats one guy. And I feel like it's just too convenient that it's the guy with the camera. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just feels kind of, like, weird. Like, this is a megalodon. It can eat whales, but it's going after Jason Statham.
Yeah. Well, that's why my theory that it's a jerk shark.
Okay.
It's just mad at the safe. Knows. It's like this. All right, so Jaws the Revenge. I wrote an article about it. You should go to movies, films, and flicks. I figured out how far the shark traveled and how many. Like, it was an 18-day hunt that the shark did in Jaws the Revenge. So, and it goes to Amity. It waits around for a long time. It's a relative of the other two. They just work. And it goes and it sets a buoy trap. It puts that piece of log into a buoy, which it knows not to go to the bottom because it'll get speared.
Right.
Sets obviously. A log in it. The kid goes. One of the kids goes to fix it, and he eats him. The shark knows who this is. The shark has not attacked anybody else. It's set the trap, right? It remembers. Then it swims all the way. Oh, some people say 3 days are incorrect. It's 6 days to the Bahamas, and it swims immediately to attack the other son and misses.
Right.
And then it gets annoyed, disappears for 7 days because it's Christmas and New Year's. Comes back, tries to kill him again, fails, gets mad. Tries to kill the daughter, misses the daughter, hits somebody on a banana boat, and then senses that the mom is going away on a sailboat and chases it. So this shark in the Meg is a combination of the Jaws, the psychic shark from Jaws, and the jerky shark from The Shallows.
That's in Jaws, because the original Jaws died by Roy Scheider, and the second one died by Roy Scheider too. But is Jaws the Revenge, is that like the son of Jaws?
Well, so the ages work, right? I think it's a relative, because
it's a relative of the original Jaws shark.
If you think about this, in the second one, the first time you see the shark is by the orca. It's investigating, right? The third one, which isn't canon anymore, it starts getting powers. It really sneaks up on people, and it wants to kill the sons in Florida. This fourth one, Jaws, I think it can't be an uncle because it would probably be too old, but I'm thinking it's probably a brother or a sister.
Okay. Because he's got to know. He's got to know what happened to his other...
Yeah. That's why it went back.
Family members.
Yeah, they're investigating. And when it kills the son, that's when the psychic link starts with Ellen Brody. Because that's when she starts seeing it. There's a scene in the movie where she steps into the water when it's close. So after the son is killed, they get a link, right? And then when she's in the Bahamas and the shark's getting close, she puts her foot in the water and she senses it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So yeah. I think I put way too much thought into this.
No, I mean, that makes sense because it's got to be like I'm saying, because monster movies like in Godzilla, like the newer Godzilla, like Aaron Taylor Johnson, like the whole time he's trying to get back to his family or whatever. But like Godzilla is there and not Godzilla, but the other monsters.
The Mutos.
They're there like wreaking havoc and stuff like that. But they don't like single him out. You know what I mean? Like they're just destroying stuff. And they happen to be around the same area he is all the time.
Yeah.
And that I'm like, all right, so they're not after him per se. They're after just everything. Like
if
they're
they
just
see
trying to
something
destroy.
They can smush, they're going to smush it.
Right. Whereas I feel like movies like Jurassic Park 3 and movies like this one, The Meg and stuff like that, it's like these animals have like a certain vendetta where they're trying to kill our characters.
Well, even the raptors in the third one were hunting them down because of the
eggs. That's true. But that made sense. Like, that's a little bit more, like, there's a purpose to that. Whereas, why would the Spinosaurus, who just killed the T-Rex, need to eat people when he could just eat the T-Rex or eat any other dinosaur?
It's a jerk. That's my jerk theory.
I don't know.
It's an alternate universe where monsters are jerks. They're just, you don't want to hang out with them. They probably owe you money.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, the Meg owes other Megs. These jerk Megs owe other Megs money.
I mean, but that Meg, I mean, he ate that other Meg, so.
Yeah, I mean, that Meg was dead, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
one they killed, it was on the boat, and then the new Meg jumped out of the water and grabbed that off the boat.
Jeez Louise. I mean, that was fun.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming, but it was still fun.
Yeah, me too. I knew that something was going to happen because that was halfway through the movie. So
I love, though, that scene where Statham goes out on the rope to get the tracker on the shark. And the boat has to take off with him being dragged behind with the shark chasing.
But now that you mention that, remember they did say, which is what I liked at first, and then it changed. But they said, if you go out there by yourself and shoot the Meg with the tracker, it won't attack you because you're just one person. You're small. Like they're saying something along the lines of like you're small. Like it won't even notice you as long as you're not splashing around and stuff. So it's like they realize that the Meg is like this thing that's just like huge and would kill a bunch of other – like I mean it ate a whale and ate other Megs and stuff like that. So like the idea that it would come after one small human being is kind of weird. And they mentioned that.
Yeah, and it didn't come after him until he started getting pulled away by the boat.
Right. So like that made sense. But then after all that, it's like they just flipped the script and then just went the other route.
Well, that's when it got annoyed with Statham.
I guess because it did attack wasn't that – because after that was when Robert Taylor died and sacrificed himself for Ruby Rose.
Yeah. And
– right?
Yeah, well, wait. No, that was the first one.
That was after?
Because that's – so what happens is the sharks get loose. Rainn Wilson tells his entire staff, right, that I called the military and there's going to be a convoy to take you out of here. But then Rainn Wilson doesn't call the military and he goes out to try to kill it himself. And then once that fails, then they try to leave, right?
I thought that was all after.
Because the doctor was still alive then, I believe. Or am I wrong? Have I mixed up my timeline here?
I can't remember. I thought that when they sent the track on the chart, I thought Rainn Wilson was still in the boat with them and stuff.
You're right. Yeah, because he gets killed.
But that might have been the first Meg then, not the second one.
Yeah. So then they, you know, Ruby. Plus, yeah. No, wait, because they built that huge. Know. Yeah, this is interesting. We got our timelines mixed up. All right, so how about
because there's too many Megs. There's two Megs.
How about this?
I can't remember.
Let's take a quick break. Let's get our timeline straight. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the Meg. Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. We still don't know the order of this film.
Nope.
But, man, this movie's got me mixed up.
I mean, I think it's because there's one Meg, and then halfway through the movie, there's another Meg. And I can't remember which Meg Jason Statham was chased by when he tried to tag it, because they tagged both of them, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh, wait, this is what it is. They catch and kill the Meg with that cool tube that he's in, the cool cage, right? Because, no, she kills it.
No, she was in it, yeah.
Yeah, Mei-Ying kills it, then they put it up on the thing, then the Meg attacks, knocks the boat over, then it eats the doctor, and then they have to take the buoys back to the, Mono One, and then that's when Rainn Wilson says that he's calling the military, but he doesn't, then he gets killed, and then the Meg goes to the beach. There it is.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
so... That's what... We totally jumped over our listener questions earlier because we want to get into this movie, but let's answer these listener questions real quick. The first one is, what is your favorite shark movie that isn't Jaws or Deep Blue Sea? So they know us pretty well because I basically talk about Jaws and Deep Blue Sea all the time. So what's your favorite shark movie that isn't Jaws or Deep Blue Sea?
Well, I already mentioned that I did like the first half of The Shallows, but just the first half. But other than that, I like the more realistic ones like Open Water and The Reef. Like, The Reef had its moments. Like, I think it was genuinely scary the way it was shot, too. And it's just like Open Water, just about people floating out there, you know, trying to survive while sharks crowd around them.
There's a mean one in that. But it was just a regular shark.
But that one was based on, The Reef.
A true story.
Based on a true story where I think it was a blacktip shark. Yeah, I think that's what it was. Blacktip shark that was attacking the group. But in the movie, they made it a great white just to be scarier.
Yeah. I mean, they could have... I wonder what is on the coast out there. I wonder if bull sharks or tiger sharks out on the coast in Australia.
Bull sharks are because there's a guy who got attacked in Australia swimming in a river because bull sharks can go into brackish water or whatever it's called.
There's actually a really good book about the around what 1913 and 1915 shark attacks that happened off the coast of Philadelphia, and an adolescent great white.
The one that Jaws is based on?
Yeah, an adolescent great white got separated from its normal hunting grounds. It got carried in this kind of not jet stream, but something in the water got carried by itself, was really hungry, and it ended up by the coast, and.
Yep.
Then it ate one person, and then it was looking for more food, then it ate another person. But in real-life form, a lot of the people were like, don't tell anybody because we have tourists here. So they didn't tell anybody. Then it made its way up a river and killed a kid in, a puddle. And then it got, wiped out by a fisherman in an epic battle. And that's
But I've actually read that book. It's called Close to Shore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually really good because it talks about – it was, in 1916 – they said that, because around that time was when swimming and, going to the beach started becoming, super popular.
Yeah.
And there was, all these rules of, what women could wear. They couldn't show too much leg. And, even men had to wear, longer bathing suits and stuff like that. And, it was just becoming so popular that people were going out there. And no one was really even scared of sharks. They didn't even really care.
Yeah, guy jumped into the water with all the sharks.
Yeah, and he never cared. He would swim with them.
And he said he would beat them up.
Yeah.
Just punch him in the nose.
Yeah, but until, they started getting attacked, and then that was the whole basis for, Jaws.
That was such an anomaly, too. It wasn't even a full-grown great white. It just got separated.
Right.
That's a good book.
Yeah, I liked it.
All right, so I like Open Water. I remember when I watched it, I saw it in a theater. That was pretty full of people, and everyone hated it because it's not the shark movie they anticipated, so it kind of wrecked my experience, and I haven't watched it since. I like The Reef a lot, and I know I've talked about it, but I really like The Shallows. I just think it was done on a budget. I liked Blake Lively in it. I thought the shot of the shark coming through the when she's surfing coming through the wave was really great. I like Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely think the shark gets bigger and smaller depending on the shot. But I just thought the shark was mean. It was pushing the whale away when she was on top of it. Just a mean shark.
I liked that. I love sharks.
Like, I'm really against shark finning and all that kind of stuff. And I just like that they went so far out there with this shark. It was just a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a good horror villain.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what the Reef was, which,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just like a shark that like kept circling around them and like following them for like, I think they were out there for days or whatever.
That's terrifying, dude.
Yeah, that would be so scary.
And there's another
I couldn't imagine.
There's another movie called Bait, filmed in Australia, where a supermarket gets flooded and there's sharks in the supermarket.
Oh yeah, I did see a trailer for that. I never watched it though.
Yeah, it's fun. It's worth watching.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
But I guess I got to go with Shallows, and then you're gonna go with Open Water or.
I'll do Open Water. That one's more realistic portrayal, I guess.
And then the second question is, who would win in a battle royale of sharks? So let's leave the Meg out because it's too big.
I got no Meg.
So we have who's gonna win this fight? It's got to come down to the genetic super sharks versus the mean shark in Shallows, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, that big one in Deep Blue Sea, like, because they were smarter.
Yeah.
And they were, like, weren't they, like, continuously learning, too?
Yeah. I mean, they sunk a laboratory.
Yeah, I think they could really, like, granted, the shark in Jaws the Revenge, I mean, it knew how to place traps and, like, find certain people and just happened to know that they were going to the beach or whatever. Yeah. So that's something.
I don't think it has good aim, though, because it missed the child and hit the woman on the banana boat.
On the banana boat, yeah. Poor banana boat.
Yeah, the banana boat lady was enjoying a ride.
Yeah.
And then this Brody just happened to be there.
And yeah.
So I think it's also pretty unwobbly. Like, it's very wobbly because the shark wasn't good, well made.
That's true. So, yeah, that's true.
I mean, I love the idea of the psychic shark, but I got to go with homeboy from, or homegirl from Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Deep Blue Sea, because that was the big one. There's like different sizes too, right?
Imagine if the jerky, there's a Mako shark. Imagine if the jerky, there were Mako sharks in Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, but wasn't one of them like super big?
Yeah.
Like compared to the other two? Because the other...
They made it a foot longer than Jaws.
Okay.
And I want to tell you something, Robert.
Yep.
That stupid, honest trailer of Deep Blue Sea. Stupid. Like, Rennie Harlan admitted that all the kills mimic the kills from Jaws. So you have a shark exploding. You have a shark being killed by fire. You have a shark who gets electrocuted. Those are kills from Jaws.
Yeah.
So he did that on purpose.
Yeah, I know all that stuff. I just thought it was funny because, like, I know how much you love Deep Blue Sea.
You know what's crazy? I'm a 36-year-old man who knows better and doesn't, everyone can like movies. But this honest trailer thing made me so annoyed.
Really?
I was like, you're just pointing out the obvious of everything in this movie.
Yeah.
It just seemed, I don't know.
Yeah, it was easy to, like, what they were pointing out. And like you said, like, he knew... It was an homage to Jaws. It wasn't like a blatant ripoff.
And if they do one about a movie I don't like, I love it.
Right? So like, you're biased.
Yeah. Honest. But when I see this, I'm like, you're full of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. You like it. Like, I would do the same thing for Jurassic Park, which I think they did do one for Jurassic Park, but I don't remember what they said about it.
I don't know. If they want to get creative about it, but when they're just like, oh, a T-Rex wouldn't run that fast, you're like, come on, bruh.
Yeah, I always felt like even with CinemaSins, like when they go through the movie, sometimes they're picking like really random stuff that's not even like a sin.
Yeah, that's why I like my dumb data. I just pick a scene and figure out what happened and have fun with it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm calling. Yeah. No one listens from them, so we're all right.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, if they covered Larry, I want Screen Junkies or whoever does it to do or the Honest Trailers to cover Larry Crown.
I still never seen that.
People have heard of it. It's about a guy, Tom Hanks, who's the perfect man, he lives in a giant house. He's divorced for some reason. You never learn why. He works at like a Costco, has a giant house, and he decides to go back to school. And then he conveniently joins a moped gang. And he falls in love with his alcoholic teacher, who is played by Julia Roberts, married to a porn-addicted Bryan Cranston. Julia Roberts has an argument with Bryan Cranston. She goes to Tom Hanks' house. Tom Hanks knows she's married. They make out, and then Tom Hanks is all excited they just committed adultery. And then,
technically, he didn't commit adultery. Didn't Julia Roberts commit adultery?
Well, I guess he aided in the act of
okay,
adultery.
Yeah.
Like, he was an adult. Was he an adulterer? Is he a homewrecker? He's a homewrecker.
Homewrecker, yeah.
I mean, granted, her relationship with Bryan Cranston was really weird. I mean, he kicked her out of the car, and then he, called her A-cup, which is... it's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Yeah. And then, so he becomes a homewrecker. Then he's in a moped gang. And he's in a junior college. And it's like a movie made by millionaires who have no idea how the world works. But I love Tom Hanks, so I feel weird saying it.
Right.
But I want them to do that.
that would be interesting. I'll watch it someday. I think it was on Netflix for a while, but I don't think it is anymore.
The cover is him on a moped going, yay!
Yeah. This makes me... just rubs you the wrong way.
It just doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get back to a movie that, I don't know, sat right with me. I enjoyed it.
There you go.
So the shark is on its way to... So what did you think about Rainn Wilson's plan to kill the Meg? Just by dropping depth charges on it?
Yeah, how did they confuse it with a whale, though? Like, wasn't it he was on the tracker...
And it hadn't lost its tracker yet either, because it lost its tracker when it was going to the beach.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So how did they I didn't understand that at all. Like, I thought there was going to be a third Meg or something.
So do you think the Meg was pushing the whale? It was wearing the whale as a hat?
That's the only thing that makes sense, is like it was near the whale, and then and maybe it already killed the whale, and then they bombed the whale and it swam away.
Yeah, it was dead, right?
I don't know.
I feel bad for the whales in this movie.
I know, whales just get owned in this.
Do that.
And not only that, again, this was another part where the Meg just went after Rainn Wilson.
Yeah, I thought
just attacked him after he fell off the boat. Because it could have just eaten the whale, but it decided to just eat him and then leave. It didn't even attack the whale.
Yeah, it's just kinda, you think Rain's gonna live.
Yeah.
And then he gets eaten. I like this character.
I didn't mind it.
I mean,
he was supposed to be like an asshole, but he wasn't always an asshole.
No, I liked it when he took advantage of everything, but why not call the military? It's not their fault. A natural occurrence happened.
Yeah, exactly.
So why not? Like, hey, we're here and we're at the Mariana Trench and a hot
giant shark.
A giant shark escaped through a steam passageway. Help. That's not going to defund your project.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to blame you for it unless they can somehow tie it into the kind of piece it together and say it was your fault. But, I don't understand how they would do that.
I don't even know how so we were supposed to know that we could start a massive funnel that would unleash a megalodon into the ocean.
Dude, do you think megalodons are still around?
No.
Do you hope that they're still around?
The Loch Ness. I think there's lake squids.
Obviously.
And I think the Loch Ness monster is still around. And I think the Loch Ness monster just kind of travels. It goes to Como, Como in Italy for summers. It's summers in Como.
But what would a megalodon eat if it was that far down? Besides giant squids, whales don't go that deep.
Well, there was a giant squid.
It was
a squid or an octopus? It was a squid.
It was a squid.
I mean, that's a big... I mean, it would need to eat one of those a day, I feel like.
Especially if it's eating, other megalodons.
And sharks really can't stop. So maybe that's
Not in the movies. They're just killing machines.
Maybe that's just the tip of the iceberg right there. Maybe there's a lot more down there.
Yeah.
Maybe there's large grouper.
That far down? I don't know.
Maybe there's 700-pound grouper.
I don't know. And I think the only whales that go really deep are sperm whales. And even them, I don't think they go as deep as they were.
Yeah, 10,000 feet?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean,
I'm gonna look it up while we talk, though. There's, I'm interested.
My theory is that there's just so much more down there, and the sharks just do that.
Right. Because I guess
they can't depend on those, you know, jacuzzi tunnels shooting them out.
Okay, so sperm whales, who also eat squid, are known to dive as deep as 3,280 feet while they search for squid to eat. They can hold their breath for up to 90 minutes on such dives.
Oh, so they aren't going all the way down there.
No, they can't. They can't reach that far.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
So then they're not eating whales.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's just weird.
Maybe there's mosasauruses down there, too.
Oh, wait, hold on. A new study of elusive, I can't pronounce this, Cuvier's beaked whales shows they can dive to nearly 10,000 feet.
So maybe they're getting munched on.
Yeah, these beaked whales.
How pissed would you be if you're a whale and you're like, I gotta escape these stupid humans. And then you go all the way down and you're like, whew.
Made it.
and then
all of a sudden. Yeah.
Oh, brother.
That sucks. Yeah. Jeez.
Figures. Can't,
yep. There's nowhere safe for a whale.
Just be like Eeyore, figures. And the problem with this whale is, if the shark eats the entire whale, that whale won't fall to the bottom of the ocean and give food to thousands of creatures.
Yeah. I don't know. Wait, one more fact real quick. The beaked whales, the Cuvier's beaked whales, are the deepest diving animals of all when they tracked one on a dive to 9,874 feet. So it actually didn't go 10,000.
Yeah,
and it went 9,874. So it probably saw a Meg and decided to back up.
Yeah, I'm safe at 9,800.
Yeah, I'm not going that extra 26 feet.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah, I can stay just out of its reach. I'm good. Yeah. I'm not going to go into the sign that says free food for whales.
Yeah, that's just the Meg trying to trick me.
Yeah, because you know when Megs write signs.
Yeah, of course. That's one of their, that's how they, like, used to kill dinosaurs back in the day.
Have you seen that Far Side comic where there's a hunter and he has a scope on one bear, but that bear's pointing at another bear?
No.
So this Far Side comic where there's a scope on a bear and the bear's pointing to his friend, like, shoot him.
Oh, really? That's awesome. I used to read the Far Side comics, like, all the time. All
right, I do want to say something that's awesome in this one, is that Pippin lives.
That's true. And you thought he died.
Yeah.
I mean,
Pippin swam a long time.
Why would she go that far?
So what we're talking about here is there's a wedding on a beautiful yacht. And this dog jumps into the water and swims away. And you think the shark eats it. But about 30 minutes later, you see the Pippin dog swimming back to the boat. That right. Pippin's been swimming for hours. That's some cardio on this dog.
Yeah, it just seems like, why did it jump into the water? Why did it jump into the water again? Because everybody else did?
Yeah, Pippin's just down.
Right. But then it, like, swam, like, really far away. Why didn't Jason Statham grab the dog and bring it back?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we already know there's tons of other sharks in this ocean. When the Meg gets
they
hurt,
all show up for some reason right when the Meg dies.
Because, you know, when there's a bully on the playground, like, they're like hyenas. Like, and they sense that a lion is getting weak. Or dead. And you're like, I'm eating dinner.
Yeah, that was still weird how they all show up.
You know, if that Meg fell over really deep water and died at the bottom of the ocean, you know how many, like, things would be fed?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's some weird, creepy stuff at the bottom of the ocean.
And so these sharks show up after the Meg gets gutted. And, they're eaten. And they don't attack Statham.
Yeah, that was weird, too.
Oh, no, a hammerhead was going to eat Statham.
Oh, didn't he? Yeah. And then she pushed it away with her ship.
Yeah, she hit it just in time with her boat. So basically what happens is Statham and Statham and Su Yin. I'm not even saying Jonas Taylor. His name is Jonas Taylor in the movie, but I'm saying Statham. So Statham and Su Yin get in the submarines and they start battling the shark because the shark attacked Sanya Bay and it's eating people. It's going to eat a kid and it's like the PG-13 version of Piranha 3D.
Right.
And Statham tricks the shark. Statham goes underneath the shark and basically guts it and then sticks it with a poison.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah.
And then that shark dies and then a bunch of other
sharks.
But then
he also stabs it in the eye. And I don't remember how that happened, but he like broke free of his little boat thing and climbed out and then stabbed the shark in the eye while it jumped up and then they both flew out of the water. That was like a so weird.
That Meg's really going to be pissed now.
Yeah. Well, the next Meg that shows up.
Yeah, there's going to be more. I mean, this movie's made over $200 million already. It was projected to make 20, and it pulled 45 in the States, and it's already above $200 million. I mean, the marketing.
Definitely going to make a sequel.
The marketing on this movie was blowing posters.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I was talking about it constantly.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, they definitely advertised it. Like, I liked the trailers for it. I liked the posters for it. I really do think they'll make a sequel to it. But, like, I mean, you know, there's already two in the first movie, so there could be another Meg out there.
Yeah, and I gotta say, everybody, I was wrong. I wrote an article predicting how many times Statham would kick the shark in this film. And I kind of did all the math, and I figured out that Statham averages, let's see, what is the average? He averages 11, he's thrown 389 kicks in his 36 films that I included in the list. That's an average of 10.8 kicks per film. So I knew he wasn't going to kick the shark 10 times, 10 to 11 times. So I brought out his movie Spy, Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, like his best movies. The ideal amount of kicks that he throws in his films for his 10 highest rated movies are total out to be about like 11 again. So that's the best amount, because Transporter, Crank, Expendables 2, Fate of the Furious, Italian Job, Furious 7, Bank Job, Snatch, Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, and Spy, they average 11.8, and those are his highest rated movies. But then I kind of figured out they threw 6 kicks in the Fate of the Furious, 1 kick in Spy, 11 kicks in Mechanic Resurrection, The Italian Job, 0 kicks, Expendables 3, 2 kicks. So in Expendables, he has to rescue people. In Italian Job, he's driving. He's in subs a lot in this movie. Mechanic Resurrection, he's probably like the greatest person on the planet killing people. Spy, he's in on the joke. In Fate of the Furious, he has to fight The Rock, who's basically the similar, Dwayne Johnson, who's the similar thing as the Meg. So I did the math, and I said that he was going to kick the shark 4 times. And he didn't kick the shark 4 times.
How many times did he kick it?
Well,
he didn't kick it at all.
Remember when didn't he kind of kick off the teeth once, or was he swimming away? Remember when the shark went to bite him when it was attached to something?
Yeah, I can't remember.
So it looks like he kind of kicked off of it a couple times. So we're thinking maybe 2, possibly 2, but not 4. So I was wrong. I mean,
yeah, he should have kicked it more.
I mean, just like a spin kick or kick off of it.
I think he should have kicked the little spear thing into the thing's eye.
Holy crap.
That would have been cool.
Oh, that would have counted.
Because he was like flying out of the water. Yeah, he was flying out of the water. If he did like a little spin kick.
Yeah.
Destroy the Meg that way.
Or just, what would happen if you're watching this movie? Shark jumps out of the water. Statham comes out of nowhere, spin kicks it, and knocks it unconscious. What's your thought?
I mean, I would think that that was amazing.
Probably.
And I would hope that I had it filmed, like my camera out at the time, but I probably wouldn't have.
Jason Statham spin kicks a Meg into oblivion.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That's like a Chuck Norris joke.
But I think Statham is the only actor on the planet who maybe The Rock, if The Rock punched a shark. But there's probably only 2 actors on this planet, I believe, could knock out a shark with a blow.
You know, this is like the kind of movie that I'm surprised that The Rock isn't in and Jason Statham is in. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Like The Rock is trying to kill the shark.
Yeah, like, I could understand if The Rock was in this movie, because he's been in, like, a lot of just, like some goofy movies, and then also some, like, just big-budget blockbusters. Whereas, like, Jason Statham, like, this just didn't feel like a movie that he would normally do. I mean, he was funny in Spy, and I guess that was, like, that was a comedy and stuff, but I'm just saying, like, overall, I was surprised it was him and not somebody like The Rock.
Yeah, he's,
Rock, I would think, would also sell more tickets.
This is more of a Rock movie, because if you think about his somewhat comedic roles, like Crank, that just goes over the top with his violence.
That's true.
Transporter, there's not too much violence. But he's like, I thought maybe he would be in Bank Job mode, or he would be in Snatch or Lock, Stock, just kind of smarmy. And not, does that make sense? Like that kind of persona.
Yeah, I could see that.
But I don't know, I still, though, man, I still had, when I walked out of this movie, I had a smile on my face. As much as I promoted it, I knew it wasn't going to be.
Well, yeah, good. It's not going to be a critic darling.
Like, I like John Turteltaub. He directed, the director, he did Cool Runnings, which I love. He did National Treasure 1 and 2, which are national treasures. They are legit national treasures. I will argue for that. I mean, I also did Three Ninjas, Phenomenon, While You Were Sleeping.
The kid.
And the Sorcerer's Apprentice. Yeah, the kid. Disney's the kid. So,
yeah,
I mean,
I'm looking at his...
As much as I like him, he's not like an 80-90% director. If you looked at the majority of his movies, they're all probably in the 40-70 range.
Yeah.
Right? And so I knew it wasn't going to be anything like that. And I, deep in my heart, I knew he wasn't going to spin Kick the Shark.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And I think it was wise what they did. I mean, this is a $150 million movie that they made. And I think by bringing in a big international cast, I think that made them an extra $70 million in China.
I mean, definitely.
They were thinking internationally with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of, you know, I asked my wife the other day, I'm like, how much money do you think this would make if it was really good? And I'm not, I didn't mean that as being mean. I just thought if it just wasn't a passably fine popcorn film.
I think they could have made it better, like in the sense of, I think it could have still been fun and like, it could have still had that kind of B movie feel with like just a little bit more added to it. Right now it sits at a 48%, but like, I think if they tried a little bit harder, they could have had like a 70 or even maybe like an 80% film. Like if it was a real fun, cause there are movies that are like this, but they're like fun and they actually have a decent story and stuff like that where they can do pretty well still. So, I mean, I don't know.
Like you don't need a redemption arc in this movie.
No.
You did not need that opening scene.
Mm.
Like this could have worked really well had he just been a diver and then someone gets stuck on the bottom and then they try to save it and then they got to stop it. Like you don't need in Jurassic Park. There wasn't a redemption story. Was there in Deep Blue Sea? There wasn't a redemption story.
No.
You don't The Shallows. There wasn't one.
No.
So, I mean, this could have just been a fun chase movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, I think so.
With Statham just being the ultimate badass, flying everything, trying to kill it. Like, that seems...
Yeah, I would have been okay with that.
Spirit on a buoy?
That would be like Jaws, where they tried to latch onto the barrels and stuff, so...
Yeah, and then the shark gets stabbed in the fourth one.
Yeah, exactly. And explodes
after,
or something.
After roaring. Well, they say it hit the thing that Mario Van Peebles put in his belly.
It was a perfect shot. That's
how
I was always wondering why it exploded.
Yeah, because he dumped that thing in it, and they're saying it hit it and exploded it. But that wouldn't make sense if a wooden plank hits it.
Yeah, I know. Like, how's that? That's creating a spark or something.
But, I don't know. You didn't just have him being the, like, I don't know. Dwayne Johnson didn't have a redemption arc in Rampage. The big monkey just got big, and they wanted to save
him. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see Rampage. Was it okay?
I mean, it's all right.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
But I've noticed that Jason Statham loves a good redemption arc. Like, he's always depressed. And then he has to, like, his wild card, and then he made a movie called Redemption. Maybe that's just kind of the go-to of it.
Yeah.
But next one, the good news is if they make a sequel, it has to be better. Because you don't have to deal with him, you know, learning how to... You know, dealing with all the drama. Like, it'll just be him hunting a shark.
Yeah.
I think he should team up with LL Cool J and Thomas Jane from Deep Blue Sea. Their characters are still around somewhere.
That would be awesome if it was in the same universe.
And the three of them are riding smart sharks to battle the Meg.
I kind of, like, at this point, I want to see a little bit more goofy, kind of, like, B-movie style to it. You know what I mean?
I want Statham to be swallowed by the Meg. He drives like a little torpedo.
Like Pinocchio.
Yeah, he drives a little torpedo into him, right?
Yeah.
And then he just jumps out in a full-on wetsuit and just starts like gutting it from the inside, and then bursts out like Beowulf in that movie.
I mean, it doesn't have to be like Sharknado like all the time, but just like a couple elements where it's kind of like let him go inside the shark and destroy it from the inside.
Well, you know what I like?
That should be the final idea. Is like we have to destroy it from the from the inside.
Yeah, it has steel plates.
Yep.
The government put steel plates on a Meg so they can't penetrate its skin, which makes it really hard to swim. So it's slow.
Yeah.
But what I liked about Deep Blue Sea is it gets hokey and a lot of people do make fun of it, but it still has fun with its kills. Like if you look at Sam Jackson, and you know, you ate my bird. And then they blow him up in the kitchen. I mean, it's serious, but it's also really fun. I wish that this movie would have had some more of that. Like, I don't like Sharknado. I watched 4 minutes of that one.
Yeah,
and I hated it because
either.
It's bad on purpose.
I don't like that.
Like, the best bad movies are the ones that they tried to make good ones. And they were earnest
that's
about
why
it.
People like The Room.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why people love that.
And so, like, I never liked those Sharknados because they're just like, hey, we're making a bad movie.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, with The Meg, I think it had the potential to be, like if you look up, like, blockbusters like that are just, like, fun movies but are also, like, the critics love them and they make a decent amount of money, like movies like Star Trek, the reboot one, Mad Max Fury Road, any of the Marvel films, Mission Impossible now, and even, like, the newer Fast and the Furious movies, like, they all, like, they're good movies, they have a good story, and they're also, like, just, like, fun to watch. And, like, I wanted a little bit more of the fun factor with The Meg. And I think it could have been also, like, it could have, I think, been, like, a decent, like, critical darling. But it doesn't matter at this point. They already made a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, and it's going to get a sequel. It has to.
Yeah, it will.
So, I mean, let's say, but it's an expensive movie, and they've spent a lot on marketing. I mean, like 47. Did you watch 47 Meters Down? We haven't even talked about that.
No, I haven't seen that one.
You need to. It's a mean movie.
Really?
Yeah, it's mean. It's good.
Yeah, I need to watch it.
It's on Netflix.
I
mean,
is it?
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, 47 Meters Down and The Shallows had better return on investments because they cost so cheap and they made a lot of money. But I could see The Meg making $400 million. Easy.
Yeah.
And that's enough to warrant a sequel. Which which I think will be more fun. Because
I'm wondering, like, they should get a bigger cast, like, get some, like, I mean, they had, like, a really diverse cast, but I'd like to see, like, some more people, like, get The Rock in there with Jason Statham.
Yeah, after Luke and Hobbs.
Hobbs and Luke. That'd be awesome.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw, yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I just think I'm going to see the sequel. I might even buy this. I might even buy The Meg. I don't care.
You think so?
I don't care. I just love shark movies, dude.
I like shark movies. Even when they're bad, I like them.
Yeah, so any final thoughts about this?
Would
you recommend it?
I'd recommend to see it, yeah.
Yeah. I might go watch
it. And I like seeing it in the theater. But, like, I probably won't buy it, but you're going to.
Yeah. The audience, there was a lot of people in the theater when I went, and they didn't seem to have much fun.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like it lacked, like, a fun factor in a lot of parts.
Because Deep Blue Sea, audiences went nuts.
Yeah, well, especially when Sam Jackson died.
Yeah,
dude, I remember that. Everybody was like, oh, my God.
I was working in a theater, and I would sneak in to watch it.
So, no, that's awesome.
But, no, man, anything to plug before we get gone? You want to talk about all your podcasts?
I'll plug it real quick. Just, I do a lot of fictional stuff. Basically just story podcasts if you want to, like, check them out. I got horror, sci-fi, dramedy, comedy, film noir, all of it. You can just go to 7lam.com. or blogtalkradio.com/7lam, and you can find all of our stuff there. I try to release a bunch of stuff. I'm going to be editing some stuff today, so they've been doing really good, especially the horror one, Paralyzed. I'll plug that one specifically.
Awesome. And then also head to iTunes. Make sure to subscribe to any of these podcasts. Make sure to review and rate. We'd love to know what you think. And next week, we're going to be talking about Resident Evil... goodness, Extinction. So if you have any listener questions about that, send them in. We're going to be recording on Monday, so you have a few days to get that in. But for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, and for Robert Lamb, this is Movies, Films, and Flicks. We'll see you next week.